Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, this is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited today because I have another founder of a company, and you know they bring the most value to our audience. I have James Nuffer with me here today. He's the founder of Candidly. James, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sean.
All right, so I always started out with, how did you end up being an entrepreneur to start with? How did you get to where you are now?
Well, it's actually a strange story because I spent most of my life in corporate for about almost 20 years. And I spent the last 16 of that in banking technology. And what I found was is that I went straight from high school into work. And when I was working, I did very successful in my career. I was doing very well in banking, C-suite executive. But I was always being hindered by my the fact that I only had a high school diploma. And then I went and did my MBA and I got that. And I started getting all these great job offers. And at about the same time, I decided to immigrate to Canada from South Africa. And when I was trying to find a job in Canada, I was looking for work. And they said to me, no, that I don't have enough Canadian experience. And so that was kind of when I'd been sitting with this idea for Candidly for a while that I decided to give up in corporate and go out on my own. And that's how I ended up being an entrepreneur.
Basically, you realize there's just way too many qualifiers to apply your skill set and to be paid the way you should. And it's funny because I think I've never been asked my GPA in college one time in my life ever. Other than maybe a family member. It's amazing that we have all these qualifiers and you have all these talented people that have the skill to do something, but for whatever reason, they learned it a certain way, or there's many ways that you could obtain knowledge.
Yeah, no, I spent a lot of time working across Africa. So I worked with a lot of great talent in countries like Kenya and Ghana and Uganda. And these are guys that came from non-traditional backgrounds that learned their skills in not the ways that we would expect them to learn, but were just as good, if not better, than some of the talent that I've worked with over the years. And so it's very a disjointed kind of process on what qualifies you as having the skills to do a job.
No, I love the business concept. So tell us about Candidly, how it kind of got started and what it does. Give us a little 5-minute on it because I think it's a great idea.
Thanks. Well, Candidly is specifically around putting people, matching employers and software developers specifically together based on developers having the skills to do the job. So one of the things that I found when, working in my last role was trying to understand how do you build great product teams. And when I looked at our organization at the time, I saw that I could see what people were paid for to do. I didn't know what they could actually do. So you had the role profiles. What I needed to know was what skills they could have. And when I dug into it more, what I found was that, this concept of education defining what skills you have or work experience defining what skills you have was so prevalent that so many people were getting overlooked for positions that they were capable of doing. And so Candidly is focused solely on giving software developers the opportunity to create a profile, and in that profile, take challenges, which are short, multiple choice challenges, and that help us build confidence in their level of knowledge in each of their particular skill sets, and then match them to employers based on the technology stack or the skills that they're looking for. And the way we do this is we allow developers, the more they engage, the more confidence we have that they have those skills, the higher we prioritize them when employers search for them. So we're really wanting to put the control back into the developer space on creating that opportunity for themselves.
You're kind of qualifying them through your questionnaire or something of that nature?
Yes. So we have our custom built challenges. And our unique approach is not to disqualify, which a lot of, job platforms out there at the moment, you've got 400 applications, you want to get it down to 10 or 15. And so you find ways to disqualify people. Candidly was built to identify. So we accept anybody at any level of knowledge. We ask you to come to our platform, take our challenges in your own time, at your own pace, build the confidence in your skills, while at the same time, we're feeding you information back in real time to say, these are your strengths, these are your gaps, This is how you can improve. You know, these are what companies are hiring for at the moment, the skills they're searching for. This is what you have. This is what they're looking for. This is the gap. This is how you can address that. So everything about us is we don't like to call ourselves a recruitment platform. I don't like the name. We refer to ourselves as an employment opportunity marketplace, because everything we do is about how do we just create more opportunity for the individuals that participate in our community.
No, I love when an entrepreneur sees, you know, as you're talking about a gap, but they see a problem in that, or they see something being done in a way that they know can be improved upon. And that's really what you did. You basically saw, you know, we are doing it this way, and because of it, we're eliminating these potential people that could be great.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly it. The one thing that I found really kind of the aha moment for me is I saw a lot of the industry going towards AI. How do we automate more stuff? How do we bring in more AI? And the problem really underlying it was bias. And we haven't solved that problem to remove bias from AI yet, because those who program AI still come with an unconscious bias to the process. And so what we did is we said, well, why don't we just do the inverse? Instead of relying more on AI for subjective, why don't we focus more on the objective? And nobody has been really doing that. And so for us, it was just a great space and a niche that we could kind of capitalize on.
No, it's fantastic. So how long have you guys been in business? And what is the one thing, let me ask you that first. So how long have you guys been doing this?
So we started the company about 2.5 years ago, but we only recently went into the market in July of this year. So we spent a lot of time and probably more than we should have in the research and the development and in building what we wanted to build, because it really was something different. We had to figure out the approach. How do you turn something from a ways to disqualify people to identify, and what do you do to make sure that that is a fair process that really gives an individual the opportunity to show what they're capable of without biasing them?
You're the masked singer of hiring, in that, in other words, you don't know who's underneath the mask. We're just telling you this person's qualified. We know this person can do it, and it may not be quite what you expect.
That's exactly it. And that's why our profiles are anonymous. So what we work with our clients is we're looking towards this zero bias screening process. So giving people the opportunity to apply for positions or interview positions based on them having the skills for the job, and not, you know, the best written resume or the best qualifications or the best work experience. And this process for us is probably one of the key aspects of our platform, because diversity and inclusion is such a big topic in the world today.
Yeah.
We're hoping to get towards a platform where people based on the skills, and an equitable hiring process, and you don't have any kind of external factors influencing a person's decision when they invite you to apply.
No, and it makes them want to apply more because they've seen biases in the past that prevented them from getting a job. And then if you're a hirer, you know, we always have natural biases, and you don't want to have them. You're like, well, I can't have a bias based on their platform. So it almost like it makes the entire process fair on both sides.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's scary what I've seen. I've spoken to a number of developers over the years, and not just developers in a number of roles, but, you know, some of the developers trying to enter the market, you know, they're applying for 35 positions in a week. And, you know, on LinkedIn, you're able to see how many people read your resume. And the one guy I was talking to said that only two people had read his resume after 35 applications. And each application takes about 40 minutes to apply, because you're customizing your resume, you're customizing your cover letter to try and get noticed.
Yeah.
And that was something we really found out right in the beginning, is it's not about, can I get a job or best written resumes? I just want to be noticed. I want to be noticed when I apply. That's it.
Yeah, no, I love the idea. I love hearing entrepreneurial ideas. I love to hear startup ideas anyway, kind of the genesis of them. And they typically always fall into a certain basket. They solve a problem. They meet a need. You know, there you go. There's, you know, 75% of every good business idea. So what do you wish you would have known when you first got started? Not that you've been doing this forever, but you kind of look back and, like you were saying, hey, maybe we should have got it launched faster, whatever the case may be. But what is, looking back, what's the one thing you wish you would have known that you know now?
I think looking back, I would say that, you know, I would have been able to go to market faster. with what I had if I knew a lot of what I know now. You know, the strange thing is coming from one of my last roles was in Agile. So you'd think I understand product well, and I do understand all the concepts, the frameworks, those kind of things. But when I was in the thick of it, I found that I was being so consumed by certain activities, actions that I wanted to get done, that I wasn't looking at it holistically. And a lot of it had to, in the beginning, focus on, I was trying to get things built, and I looked at outsourcing, and I looked at a different number of things. And I probably spent money on things that I shouldn't have spent money on at that point in time. I should have spent it later on. But after about 6, 7, 8 months, I started building a great advisory board, and getting the right people in my sphere of influence to help me make decisions and think things through. So, you know, the big thing for me is I wish I built a stronger advisory network contacts right in the beginning, especially coming to Canada as a new immigrant.
Yeah.
I didn't have a massive network. I had to build that from scratch. But I was so consumed by building this great product that, you know, I didn't actually take a step back and look at, well, you know, pulling a product apart, building it piece by piece rather than trying to go for the biggest picture. So yeah, I think it's kind of, you can't see the wood for the trees when you're in it, even though you think you know everything, you think you know how to build a product.
Yeah.
It's not the same when you're in the thick of it.
And it's common to always want perfect, to always want, okay, one quick improvement. Is there another improvement? Is there another improvement? Instead of that, this is really good. And it doesn't matter anyway, because the marketplace is going to tell me where I need to move, what I need to modify. And so that's such a common problem that founders, you know, get trapped in. You know, it's their baby, and they're entering into a beauty pageant. They want to get it perfect. So, exactly. So with that being said, and it may be the same thing or maybe something different. What is your go-to startup advice now that you're in a network, a new person comes in, they're trying to start a business. What is your piece of good startup advice you like to share with people?
Yeah, I think my best piece of advice is find people that know and have been through what you're about to go through. I found, you know, even with my advisory board, they're all great businessmen. They're all experienced entrepreneurs and that type of thing. But when you're an early stage startup and you're getting off the ground, and things are different than now than they were 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you want to find people that are going through it right now, that are living it, that have about to, you know, you can relate to them. I've joined a program recently called Humans in the Wild, which is out of a company, a VC called Human Ventures in New York. And just surrounding myself in this new cohort with people and other founders that are going through what I'm going through right now, either are about to go through what I'm going through or have gone through what I'm going through, I can help them and they can help me.
Yeah, and no, I mean, that encouragement is huge.
Yeah.
And I always say, I want to learn. I'd like, you know, we're going to experience enough failure, but sometimes hearing failure from someone else, so I don't have to personally experience, I find it's a lot less expensive.
Yes, no, it is. And you really have to be open to that stuff, right? The one thing that you've got to have as an entrepreneur is a thick skin. You know, I have been lambasted in pitch meetings, and that from some investors that I pitched to. And they've torn my idea apart. And, you know, you walk away from those things feeling very disenfranchised. But, you know, these are guys that have gone through so many pitches, they pitch to you every single day. You've got to take it from where it comes. You know, they've given you 30 minutes of their time to try and present to them. And the fact that they take the time to tell you where you've got areas that is preventing them from considering your product, you really just got to take that on board. You've got to, you know, absorb it, use it, and convert it into something great. That's probably the hardest lesson, I think, as an entrepreneur is taking the bad criticism.
No, I talk about the entrepreneur's Bermuda Triangle. And the first thing that kills so many startups is their founder will not take any criticism to their idea. They will not, they're in a bubble. I'm so excited today. I have James Nuffer with me here today. He is the founder of Candidly. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, James. How can people connect with you, your company?
Well, they can reach out to us on www.candidly.me.
And that'll be in the show notes.
Great. they can follow us on LinkedIn, same at True Skills at Work, at True Skills at Work. And or they can, you know, if they want, they can reach out to me at james@candidly.me. If they have any questions, yeah, that's kind of
appreciate
where we are.
I appreciate it. Again, I have the founder of Candidly with me today, James Knopfer. We want to thank him for being on the podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. This podcast equips, encourages, and educates entrepreneurs in the least amount of time possible. We will talk again soon.